at Southern Company, we know the right solutions start with the right questions. How do we deliver reliable energy and overcome unpredictable challenges? How do we get to net zero carbon emissions and ensure communities thrive? How do we deliver affordable energy today and tomorrow? Southern Company, building the future of energy.
All right, hour two of the program. It's Matt Dunn and for Randy Corporan. What is it? It is October 23rd, 2021, 10:02 a.m. Mountain Time across the Denver suburbs. Here we are, high altitude radio. We're going to talk about Alec Baldwin and that scenario here and just throw it out there and see if anybody has anything to say. And I don't know if anybody will want to comment on this or not. And I haven't heard any talk radio address this. I'm always listening and tapping in and out of talk radio and 710 KNUS. I guess I haven't heard anybody go into it. I'm sure somebody has that maybe somehow I missed it. But what an ugly situation. By the way, somebody, just one housekeeping note, somebody said, called in to say that it's not Monmouth, like I said in the last segment, but it's Monmouth. Did I get that right? Monmouth? Okay, so I usually try to accumulate at least one pronunciation phone call correction a show, and it was for years that I said Devin Nunes instead of Devin Nunes. That was probably my worst one of all time, my worst offense. But I always say I have a thing where when I see a word written, it comes into my mind as how it should be pronounced, and it just sort of sticks, that initial impression, and it takes years to overcome it. So I'm already embarking on my multi-year effort to say Monmouth instead of Monmouth. And so hopefully that will take, hopefully it won't take too long. Anyway, I guess you may have seen the news about Alec Baldwin, the actor, the producer who has killed a woman, shot a woman dead. And her name is Halyna, H-A-L-Y-N-A. Should I even try to pronounce that? Halyna Hutchins, cinematographer, and who I've been reading up on a little bit about her life, and I guess she's born Ukrainian, but was raised up in Murmansk, which is up in the Arctic Circle, that way up far north port city of Russia, which is really close to Norway, that really top part of Norway. So she was raised up there and then found her way to the United States and began to make her way into the film industry. And if you look at some of her life and some of her background and some of her work as a cinematographer, she's done some really beautiful stuff. Very talented. And I just, everything we say here about Alec Baldwin is in the framework of respect and prayers for the loss of Halyna Hutchins, who has, a small child, apparently, and married to Matthew Hutchins, an attorney in the Los Angeles area. And I guess apparently she was shot in the chest by Alec Baldwin on the set of a film. And I don't obviously think anybody's thinking that Alec Baldwin has done this intentionally. Okay, that's not even on the table here. But the director of this film, the working title is Rust. And it's a Western-themed film. And I guess the set of the film is out near Santa Fe, New Mexico, and apparently the crew has been commuting back and forth to Albuquerque, which apparently they were complaining about. That's kind of a long drive, and the conditions were not great for some of the people working on the film. But anyway, the director is Joel Souza, who was wounded, who was also shot by Alec Baldwin. All right. How did this happen? How could this possibly have happened on the set of this film? How was there any confusion over a prop gun versus a real gun versus blanks versus real bullets? I mean, there are industry standards and protocols for how these kinds of things are managed on a Hollywood film set. And I read a long essay on it this morning about how things should be handled in a safe manner, and you do wonder You're starting to see some stuff come out of this production. And I think, we still don't know exactly all the details. We don't know exactly what went down and what's been going on. And so, but there's enough grousing to make you think that they were not, and I guess you'd have to say obviously, they were not paying attention, that they were not being careful with what they were doing. And it's led to just a horrific incident, of course, that is, probably this is the biggest story in the world right now. And if you look up the news, I mean, there's all kinds of different languages reporting on this. And so this is a tricky one politically to discuss, in the sense that Alec Baldwin is a very hateful individual and a very intemperate individual. And he's got a long history of hateful outbursts. He's got an abusive history with women, and he's had some outbursts against homosexuals. Remember when that went down some years ago in New York City? He's had a long history of opposing the Second Amendment. And if you go down Alec Baldwin's Twitter feed history, there's some incredibly ugly stuff in there. And, of course, Alec Baldwin has been particularly vicious towards Republicans, conservatives, and President Trump, where he had many years of mocking President Trump on Saturday Night Live. And, of course, he did it in a particularly vicious and ugly manner. But just so I get the lines are filling up here, so, yeah, people want to talk about this. This is good. One line open. But if you think about, all right, you factor that history in, and maybe as they're investigating what happened on this set, I mean, should they take that into account? Richard Grenell has said that, you got to look into his history of emotional outbursts. This is an out-of-control individual. You got to look at his abusive history and the things he has done and the cameramen he has shoved around on the streets of New York City and so forth. I mean, he's had some violent confrontations in his career. And so somehow or another, it has come to this. A young woman shot dead on the set, and the director wounded by Alec Baldwin. Okay, and not intentionally. We should be clear on that, that was of there's no way that anybody, I think, should think that this was somehow deliberate in any way, obviously. I think that's obvious, right? We're starting from that platform. But if you look at his Twitter feed, Alec Baldwin put out a tweet on September 22nd of 2017, and this is in regards to a police shooting in Huntington Beach, California. And Alec Baldwin tweeted this, quote, "I wonder how it must feel to wrongfully kill someone," end quote. So he said that in 2017, which sort of adds something to the narrative here. And Alec Baldwin put this tweet out in December 5th of 2019. Quote, "Representative Liz Cheney talks and seems so much like her father. I wonder if she's ever shot a good friend of hers in the face," end quote. And if you look back at what Alec Baldwin was tweeting about Dick Cheney, there's some really, really rough tweets about Dick Cheney. And remember, the hunting incident, right, in which Dick Cheney, if they were on a pheasant hunt or a quail hunt, and I think this goes back to, 2006, that Baldwin was just merciless, just unforgiving in his treatment of Dick Cheney. And he said, quote, this is going back to 2006. This is from, I think this is the media or Newsbusters website. "Cheney is a terrorist. He terrorizes our enemies abroad and innocent citizens here at home indiscriminately. Who ever thought Harry Whittington," Harry Whittington is the friend of Cheney's that Cheney apparently shot in the face, "whoever thought Harry Whittington would be the answer to America's prayers? Finally, someone who might get that lying, thieving Cheney into a courtroom to answer some direct questions." Now, people around here who listen to Backbone Radio might know that I have no love for the Cheneys, but, that kind of over-the-top commentary from Alec Baldwin. And that's just a few examples. I could kind of keep going on and on about Alec Baldwin's examples of intemperate things he has said. Like, really over the line, right? Really over the line. And now here he is in this situation. And so what does this do for Baldwin? How does he respond to this? How does he deal with this? Does he learn anything from this? Does he start wondering about some of the things that he has said and thought in the past, some of the altercations he's been in his life? Does it affect him in that way? Does guilt affect somebody like this with his history and his track record and the way he has behaved himself in Hollywood over the past several decades? These are some questions out there that I think are fair to be discussing and fair to be asking. And, you know, I mean, is there hypocrisy involved? He has been a militant anti-Second Amendment guy for quite some time. And now here he is having, you know, shot people, killed a woman. Alec Baldwin, big-time icon in Hollywood, icon of the left, beloved by Democrats. And so say you're a Democrat right now and you see that, you know, Baldwin has killed a woman. How do you respond to that? You know, this Democrat guy, you love his lambasting of Trump and lambasting of Cheney and the hateful things he says about Republicans and conservatives, the unforgiving things he says about conservatives, and now he shot a woman. How do Democrats respond to this? And there were some things going on in the set about safety concerns, and apparently some people had walked off the set protesting the safety protocols before the shooting occurred, and I'll go into that here in a minute. But why don't we just get, you know, a few thoughts in right now, and let's talk to Tony in Castle Rock. Tony, you're first up on talking about Alec Baldwin and the tragic incident that has occurred, and what's on your mind, Tony?
Completely crazy. But first, I would like to thank you for being on the air this morning. Really enjoying the show.
Hey, right on. Glad to be in here. Glad you're there, sir.
So I have questions. I have thoughts. I guess my first question is why is he pointing a gun at the director and not an actor? That's my first question.
And I've been asking that question myself. And I guess you can imagine a scene where the gun gets pointed at the camera, and so maybe the person holding the camera, which would be the cinematographer Helena Hutchins, that perhaps you could explain it that way. But we have not been given those details, so it's fair to speculate on, right?
Gotcha. Yes, I was reading some things that were said, like he was handed the gun and he was told it was not loaded. I saw that in the print somewhere. But,
right. They're saying that an affidavit says that he was handed a cold gun, that whoever handed him the gun, and it's some young woman named Gutierrez, they're already getting this in the record, that Alec Baldwin was told the prop was a cold gun before the fatal shooting, according to an affidavit that's reported in the Wall Street Journal. So that's out there. Yeah.
Crazy. Okay, so number one thought is when someone hands you a gun, it doesn't matter what they say. Gun safety rules state that you make sure and check that the weapon is unloaded. You look down the barrel, you look in the chambers, you look in the clip, whatever the case is. So if someone hands you a gun, any adult that handles a gun would know this. You know, I mean, it
yes.
goes without saying.
Yes.
If somebody hands me a gun, tells me it's unloaded, the first thought in my head is, I don't believe you.
Yep. Same here. Those of us who've been raised around guns all of our lives and who practice extreme and diligent gun safety protocols and have taken the courses with the National Rifle Association and so forth, which includes, yes, yours truly. These are basic things. These are very basic, fundamental things. But one thing I would say is I don't know how, like, see, if I was on a set and I was the in a film, I would, you know, if there's blanks, do blanks look different than actual brass? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's a question.
Marked.
I don't know. I've never seen a blank before. Could you unload, look at everything, and then put them back in once you are satisfied that those are actually blanks?
Yeah, blanks are marked. Blanks are painted.
Okay, so you know that. That's interesting.
Yep.
Yeah.
But all I have to say is, if somebody hands you a gun, you have to know what is in your hands. So it's horrible for her and her family. It's just sad as heck. And yeah, I wouldn't say that there was any malicious intent at all. But that doesn't mean that he's off scot-free, not in my mind.
Well, apparently, in these kind of situations, I guess there is some history and protocol that, you know, the actor is part of the chain of responsibility in these scenarios. So it does make you wonder, will criminal charges be pending? None have been filed thus far. But what does that chain of responsibility look like? And I think it's got to be looked into. And, well, you know, carelessness, I mean, there's, you know, something called manslaughter, right? Which means unintentional, accidental. There's stuff in the law for that, right?
Indeed. I just can't believe all those tweets that you had mentioned, all those statements that he has made, and it comes full circle. That is just crazy.
I know. I'm getting a bunch of text to studio that karma is a B word. Karma. The word karma keeps coming up. And should we? I mean, that you have to say, you know, that, you know, that if there is such a thing as karma, that Alec Baldwin would be on the short end of that stick, right? Karma wise, there's just no denying that. But I don't know if we want to go too far down that road. But that's just what. When people see this and hear about this and they know Alec Baldwin, who, by the way, was also a producer. I mean, he was a boss on that set. He was in charge of that set. When you're a producer, you're not just the actor. And I would think your responsibility levels climb, you know, the more you're in charge of a set, right?
That makes total sense to me.
Yep.
Well, I guess I'll just finish this call up with the chant of the day. Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon. Amen. That's making 2021 tolerable. Right, Tony. Hey, great points there. And, yeah, thanks for the info on the blanks and how those can be clearly demarcated against, live rounds. And why would there even be live rounds anywhere near a movie set? And apparently what they're saying is that these were actual live rounds. And so, you know, he just shot them point blank, did Alec Baldwin. So, anyway, Tony, thank you for being a part of the program here. And if I can step off there, let's get to Peter in Denver. Peter, thank you for checking in on the Alec Baldwin topic here. Welcome.
Matt.
Yes.
Matt, Backbone Radio on Saturday. That's a treat, man.
Hey, right on. I'm glad you're here.
And I'm glad to be here. And, you know, Alec Baldwin, we've been hearing about this stuff ever since he divorced Kim Basinger in the 80s, I guess it was.
Yep.
And it was, of course, of anger issues, they said. They never really went into detail. You know, you heard a lot of rumors about him actually getting physical with her. But who knows? You know,
yeah. By the way, Peter, you're from New Jersey, right?
Hoboken, New Jersey.
Right. And is it Monmouth or Monmouth, or how do you pronounce it?
Monmouth.
Okay, got it. Anyway, just wanted that in the record. So I actually have a real live New Jerseyan on the phone here. So thank you. Thank you for that, Peter. Anyway, sorry to interrupt your stream of thought on this. Yeah.
Hoboken, the garden spot of the Garden State, anyhow. But just thinking back in Hollywood, I remember the last major thing was when Vic Morrow got killed. Remember that?
No, I don't.
On the set of the movie.
Okay.
Twilight Zone.
Okay, I haven't thought of that in a long time. I know one of the comparisons is Brandon Lee. Brandon Lee, the son of Bruce Lee, right, the Hong Kong martial artist who came out to California.
Right.
I have the Bruce Lee box set from Criterion, and those are some pretty high-quality films. But Brandon Lee, apparently, the son was killed on the set of a film, but he actually had a blank in his gun, but he had held the gun right to his head, thinking that somehow a blank wouldn't cause
and
damage.
Got a wad in there or something.
And so that's what got Brandon Lee. that Brandon.
But with the Vic Morrow thing, because I always like Vic Morrow. He's a good character actor. And actually, John Landis and four or five producers were, they had charges of involuntary manslaughter hanging over their heads.
I haven't seen that one referenced in all I've read about this, but okay, I'm going to look into that one.
Yeah. Huh. And they were all eventually acquitted. You know, that was in California. So,
would that have been, how long ago was that? Was that original
that was
Twilight Zone?
80s.
Or is that the new version they did like in the 80s?
No, it was a movie, The Twilight Zone.
Oh, okay.
In like 81 or 82.
Okay.
And a helicopter blade came off and like basically cut Vic Morrow and two kids in half.
Oh, I see. So it was not a firearm scenario.
Right, right.
That. Okay.
But I'm just saying as far as Hollywood being brought for charges, like I said, John Landis and four or five producers were were tried for it, at least the grand jury, and they were all acquitted. But
I don't know where we're headed here, but it looks like we're running long on the break. But any quick summation for you, your thoughts on the Alec Baldwin scenario?
Well, like I said, he's always had anger issues, so who knows what actually went on there. But anyway, good to hear you on a Saturday. And again, let's go, Brandon.
Okay, right on, Peter. Thank you for being here. Talk with you soon. And that's something that Alec Baldwin's anger issues have been way over the top for decades. But curiously, the left has always sort of kind of secretly liked that. You know, he's never really had any real consequence from the left or from the media. He's never been really really scrutinized thoroughly because he's a good person of the left, right? And so he's always been able to do whatever tantrums he wants to do and all his abusive behavior. And again, that's not saying that this is a deliberate scenario here or premeditated scenario or intentional in any way. But the karma word does come up, and it just has to be said. All right, one line open. Let's take a break here. If you're on the phone lines, hang on tight because we're going to hear from you when we come back around the corner. Matt Dunn in for Randy Corcoran. Be right back. Matt Dunn in for Randy Corcoran. We're talking about Alec Baldwin. He shot two people on the set of the film Rust that he is the lead actor in and the producer of, killing young woman Halnya Hutchins, wounding director Joel Souza. All right. And LA Times has a report that a colleague on the set of Rust was so alarmed by prop gun misfires that happened earlier in the week, he sent a text message to the unit production manager saying this, quote, "We've now had three accidental discharges. This is super unsafe," end quote. So apparently there's been some accidental discharges on this set leading into this tragedy. And Kelly, did you have another tidbit there that you just pulled up?
Yes, this is from the Populist Press, and I believe this is actually a link to the LA Times article. Baldwin's stunt double accidentally fired two rounds Saturday after being told that the gun was cold, lingo for a weapon that doesn't have any ammunition, including blanks. One of the crew members who witnessed the episode told the LA Times.
Okay. Thank you for that. Looks like they were just not following safety protocols there. There's a big story at the UK Daily Mail, which talks about, quote, "troubling reports that are highlighting safety concerns on the set of Baldwin's Western film." And another note here, the production crew on the set of Rust walked out on Thursday morning in a row over safety and long hours. And another note, on Thursday, when they arrived to pack up, the production crew found a team of non-union workers waiting to replace them. Huh. So it sounds like there was issues with the production crew, unhappy with safety, unhappy with the hours, unhappy with the long commute to Albuquerque to get back to the near Santa Fe filming set. And apparently Halyna Hutchins decided to stay on the set and film with Alec Baldwin, and the director Joel Souza also decided to stay and continue filming. And apparently the deceased, the victim here, Halyna Hutchins, had been advocating on behalf of her team for better working conditions. But of course, she was killed by the bullet. For his part, Alec Baldwin has put out two tweets on, yes, his Twitter feed that is full. It's historically full of just nasty, mean, intemperate, ugly statements, even statements about shooting people, killing people, and so forth. Anyway, Alec Baldwin has said this, quote, "There are no words to convey my shock and sadness regarding the tragic accident that took the life of Halyna Hutchins, a wife, mother, and deeply admired colleague of ours. I'm fully cooperating with the police investigation to address how this tragedy occurred, and I am in touch with her husband, offering my support to him and his family. My heart is broken for her husband, their son, and all who knew and loved Halyna." That is a tweet from Alec Baldwin yesterday, October 22nd at 11:37 a.m. So that is where things are. But it sounds like it was not a good scene on the set. There were safety concerns. Apparently there's been misfires from the gun before, from the stunt double. And it led to this, and it's Alec Baldwin. And yes, the karma tweets are flowing in around here. How do Democrats handle this? How do this is the guy who spent 4 years imitating Trump on SNL, Saturday Night Live. This is the guy who did that for 4 years. And now we've got this situation. Let's keep going in order here. Neil in Colorado Springs. Welcome, right. Neil.
I've been following this, and do you know something? This is a script from Perry Mason.
Did not know that. Huh.
Well,
Raymond Burr.
It's similar. So where is Raymond Burr and Perry Mason is what I'm saying.
Oh.
This is something that I have heard about earlier, but I'm just saying that where are you, Perry Mason? That's all I'm going to say. This is what he would be working on if he was around. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, they need to have an investigation. They need to get, they're already doing it. I've seen pictures of the cars, the investigative units that are there, and they're looking things over. And we'll see if charges are pending.
He's going to have to get a bunch of lawyers and attorneys on his side fast.
Yep, he better lawyer up. But, I don't know.
Does
he really want to do everything he can to save his skin right now? Does he, or does he just want to just say, hey, this is so tragic, I just can't even. Anyway, I don't know, Neil, but thank you for the good points there. Let's keep on trucking here, and let's move over to, Jack in Evergreen. Hello, Jack. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, Matt, I know they're going to try to shift the blame to the prop people, and then May Smith and Wesson are cult. It was a looked like a 1911 to me. But anyway, the first thing that's taught in gun safety, there's no such thing as an empty gun, number one. There's no such thing as a toy gun, number two. No matter what kind of a gun you have, no matter what it is, you never point it at a human being and pull the trigger. That's the end of the story. He is totally culpable for doing that. Now, it's more than a reckless disregard of another person's life. It's more than that. It's highly criminal. And he's not going to slough it off on other people. Now, add to that the fact that they knew that these guns were discharging real ammunition the day or a couple days before that.
Yeah.
He had to have knowledge of that. And then to go ahead and act the way he acted, the man should hang. That's all I have. I got one more question for you.
Bring it. Lay it on.
Yeah. Do you have any imbeciles in your audience?
Definitely not around here at 710 KNUS.
Let me rephrase the question. Do you have any Democrats in your audience?
Well, actually, I hope we do, because there's some folks that maybe could learn a thing or two about reality and so forth.
That's criminal reckless disregard of a human life. Mm-hmm. There's no way around it. And the prop people, yeah, you can make that claim a little bit, but you're not going to shift it from the guy who pulled the trigger. You're just not going to do it. That's all I got, man.
Right on, Jack. Good, solid string of points, as ever, from you, sir. Thanks for checking in. Yeah, the more you look at this, the more you see the anarchy, the chaos, and I don't know, the history of Alec Baldwin's violent outbursts, his abusive behavior, his overall nastiness does not help Baldwin in this moment, okay? He doesn't have a good resume, a good track record to fall back on, and even the left does know that, though they always kind of never minded when he had his big tantrums, which I think kind of in a way was a harbinger of the angry left. Maybe Alec Baldwin was the first guy who kind of set the tone. You can be angry, you can have outbursts, you can abuse people, you can yell at people, you can insult people, you can throw people down on the street. And the left thinks that's okay. I don't know. Maybe this is like, you know, Alec Baldwin was the first real angry leftist, and I think we're living in a sea of angry leftists in America right now. To the phones again we go. Don in Colorado Springs. Welcome, Don. What are you seeing on this one?
Yeah, well, you know, Alec Baldwin is kind of, hopefully he's being held accountable for what he's done. I mean, for all the mocking of Trump that he has done, I mean, it's coming home to roost. And let's not forget Match Game. He and his writers pulled a few punches against Trump on that show, and it made it the least popular among ABC's lineup of game shows at the moment.
Interesting. Never even heard of it. Never saw it.
Never heard of Match Game?
No. Uh-uh.
I mean, the best known version of it was Gene Rayburn in the 1970s, and even though he was a liberal, his show, apparently, his version of it wasn't as highly as political as Baldwin's, you know, not as in your face as Baldwin's version is.
Yeah, interesting, huh? But so you think accountability is in store for Alec?
Fun fact. Here's another fun fact for you. Alec Baldwin hosts the radio broadcasts of the New York Philharmonic Orchestra concerts on the radio.
You know, I have heard him do that, and in all fairness, I think he does a pretty good job.
He does.
For that, and I'm, you know, I like, you know, he's pretty good radio guy, is Alec Baldwin, but it does seem like, you know, to have such an angry, raving lunatic like that doing the New York Philharmonic, it just doesn't quite fit his character, but, you know, he did all right with it.
You know, he's just probably the good Hollywood progressive forwarding the cause and all of that, this incident is one good reason why they're doing away with the starter guns in swimming and track, believe it or not. I mean, swimming did with it, replace it with a buzzer, and then I think track has a kind of a gun imitation sound. But
that's interesting. I hadn't seen that, but I know what the swim meets that I help officiate and actually DJ for, we have a buzzer. Yeah, there's no starter guns there.
They probably used both for a while, but eventually the starter's pistol was phased out.
Huh. Well, that's an interesting point, Don. And I guess we're going to see how this one rolls.
You know, and then it's going to, and I think, you know, we've still got to push the need for gun safety, even though if you're using blanks, they're just as dangerous as the real bullets.
You know, and Alec Baldwin, again, long history of ripping the Second Amendment. I mean, he is a gun grabber. And so, you know, you do wonder, you know, there he is in a Western.
They're going to use him as a poster boy and why we need to have gun control. But I think this is another reason why we need to have gun safety, and, you know, and that they are not toys.
Yep, they are not toys. And I don't know, Sebastian Gorka was saying that if Alec Baldwin had taken even one gun safety class with the NRA, that this situation would have been avoided, and I think that does seem pretty obvious. And
well, let's hope Alec Baldwin the NRA is 3 steps ahead.
But
on
NRA, Alec Baldwin's been part of some organization called the No Rifles Association.
No surprise.
That's Alec Baldwin. Anyway, Don, great point, sir. Thank you for checking in, and let's keep on saying hellos here. And Sandra in Loveland, thank you for checking into the Randy Corcoran Show. Matt Dunn here. And what's on your mind, Sandra?
Thank you, Dr. Dunn. Great show and great topic.
Right on.
I am very curious as to when the police officer showed up on the set and approached Mr. Baldwin. Did they test him for drugs?
I haven't seen anything about that.
Weed, whatever. I am so curious to know that. That should be in the public record. Also, he knowingly pointed that gun toward those people, whether he was being taped or not. You do not point those guns at human beings. Oh my gosh. And another point, I just believe in the end he'll be held accountable by public opinion, but I predict he will be paying those two families an abundant amount of money. In the end,
yep.
I don't see that I think the Hollywood people are going to corral around him. I mean, we're in such an upside down world.
What is the future for Alec Baldwin? I mean, this movie, it seems to me that this movie needs to be done. They should just drop it totally. This movie should be halted. And should Alec Baldwin be starring in more movies? Should Alec Baldwin be the radio voice for the New York Philharmonic? Should Alec Baldwin continue to do the mocking imitations of Trump on SNL? I don't know. Sandra, what do you think there?
I don't think people will have an appetite for it. I think people will, they will shun him.
Seems hard to imagine otherwise, but I don't know. The left has forgiven him everything so far. This is obviously a whole new magnitude, a whole new level, and a woman is dead. So,
but
Hollywood,
I believe this is so public and so egregious, and his actions in the past have been volatile, vile, even towards his little 12-year-old daughter.
Yeah, you remember that one, right?
Yep. Oh my gosh, and to his ex-wife, Kim Basinger. He's had such outbursts. His language is just reprehensible.
Now, was his daughter 10 or was she 12 when he left a screaming voicemail for her saying, "This is the last time you will ever humiliate me again"? You remember that? I don't have the exact quote sitting here, but
yes.
Who talks that way to a little kid? I mean, Alec Baldwin does, right? I mean, this is the time, I guess, to go through it. His track record.
His little girl.
So, yeah. Little girl. That's
his
the kind of guy
girl.
That he has been.
Yep,
and he's always gotten away with everything, right?
I think the left and the do-no-wells will probably stick around with him for a while until the heat turns up for Alec. I want to know if he was tested for drugs. That's usually the first thing when you go on when someone's been shot and injured. I mean, that's the first thing they do.
I guess that's one of the first things that law enforcement does in a situation like that. And I have a feeling that that was not part of the deal here. I've probably read at least 100 articles about this at this point, and I never have seen that mentioned in any place there. But interesting point, Sandra. And so, we'll carry on with all of this. But so thanks for checking in all the way up in Loveland. I'm heading up there for a soccer game next week. So
we have the
daughter's game up there. Anyway, so all the best, Sandra. You take care. Stay close with us if you would. Honored to have you around. And Matt Dunn, I'm in for Randy Corbin. We've gone a bit long here, so let's take a break and we'll be back in a flash. Okay, yes. Matt Dunn in for Randy Corcoran, my good buddy, and I'll be back tomorrow night for Backbone Radio, 4 to 7 p.m. So we'll hit this all over again. And by the way, I mean, we just had a just flood of text messages in here during that Alec Baldwin. We've kind of had the Alec Baldwin hour. Thanks for, boy, the insightful commentary, and I guess... a lot of people just have, you know, it's so funny, you know, if some, say, conservative individual had been in this situation, can you imagine what the left-wing media would be doing to that person? I mean, can you even imagine? You know exactly how that would play out. But what are the rules nowadays? I mean, the left has changed the rules. Hertz Lichter keeps pointing this out, that the left has become incredibly vicious in their politics and in the way they attack and the way they lie. And so even, you know, I mean, we've got some texts that are, you know, pretty hard on Alec Baldwin. And but yet still not to the near level that you would see that if this was a right winger who was involved in this tragic shooting. I guess you wouldn't call it a murder at this point. You'd call it a manslaughter kind of scenario. But I would say that the right, we're so much more charitable. You know, I mean, there's obviously some karma commentary here, but yet the tone here is way more charitable than you would expect that, you know, things were a little bit different in terms of the politics. Somebody asked, was he on the Epstein property in New Mexico? Because, yeah, Epstein has some property out there. A lot of talk about Brandon Lee. And some, I don't know all the details of what happened with Brandon Lee. I had read that he had held a gun to his head on that movie set, Son of Bruce Lee, and had killed himself that way. But some people are saying that, no, that's actually not how that all played out. So don't know on the Brandon Lee business. And boy, there's just so many that it's just hard to I can't get them all in here. And here's one. I guess Baldwin's wife is Hilaria Baldwin. Did you ever see how Hilaria Baldwin claims she spent a lot of time in Spain in her childhood but grew up in Boston? Apparently, she's had to come out and actually kind of like say that, no, she's not actually Hispanic or something. And so, you know, kind of the little bit of phoniness there, you know, Hollywood couple. And someone says, yeah, Brandon Lee, there was a spent bullet in the barrel and it wasn't actually a blank. Anyway, just catching up on all of that. Now, and someone else did send in that, you know, we were talking about how Joe Biden has not been able to find time to get to the border. All right. He can't seem to get there. He's been doing too many other things. And but yet here he is. He's off to Delaware again this weekend. And apparently he spent 70 days of his presidency in Delaware, you know, in that Delaware basement, which he just is just irresistible allure. That Joe Biden finds to that basement in Delaware, you know, and so he's 70 days out of his 275 days as president, he has been in Delaware. All right. And again, Anderson Cooper asked him, hey, you know, any plans to go to the border, Joe? This is that town hall where he's standing there in this really weird, awkward, rigid posture. Something's wrong with his motor neurons, folks. And obviously his brain, his mind, yeah. He did that town hall, and boom, he's off to Delaware, back to the basement. I can't handle things, you know. But here's how he said it:
Do you have plans to visit the southern border?
I've been there before, and I haven't. I mean, I know it well. I guess I should go down, but the whole point of it is, I haven't had a whole hell of a lot of time to get down. I've been spending time going around looking at the $900 billion worth of damage done by hurricanes and floods and weather and traveling around the world. But
I don't know how much damage comes from the wide open border. I would say that's way more than a hurricane. And if you add up all the fentanyl coming across the border, how many Americans can that kill? How many Americans will die from the fentanyl coming across the border? Come on, Biden, get your priorities straight. Obviously, he wants the open border. The left wants that open border. It's a disgusting situation. And Biden went on in that statement to say, well, you're not seeing many pictures from the border. You're not seeing many pictures of, but it's because they don't allow the media to go down there to get pictures. They've censored the border. Anyway, Newsmax had a thing or two to say about this here. Joe Biden heading back to Delaware now.
President Biden leaving the White House tonight to spend another weekend at his home in Delaware. This as his presidency and his agenda are in shambles. That CNN town hall last night, putting the spotlight on Biden's priorities, but not exactly in the way they probably wanted. We know he has very little to no concern about the border crisis and the thousands of migrants that continue to stream into the country every day. And so maybe it's time to go visit the border, Mr. President, right?
I've been there before, and I haven't. I mean, I know it well. I guess I should go down, But the whole point of it is, I haven't had a whole hell of a lot of time to get down.
What? He's had plenty of time. He's had 10 months. He's had time to meet with influencers like Olivia Rodrigo.
Oh, so that's great. Pop singer.
What he's been doing, not getting down to the border. You remember some of these photos here. Here he is with Olivia Rodrigo, the two snapping a selfie at the White House.
Way too busy.
In July. Now, in August, it was the dude with the sign, Seth Phillips, at the White House. This dude gets it, folks. I guess more so than any of our Border Patrol agents that he doesn't want to meet with. The White House also enlisting TikTok influencer Benny Drama. Cooper the Intern, you may know him as. He starred in that parody as the Gen Z guy at the White House. So they were filming those, but no time to go to the border, of course. Let's welcome in.
Yeah, the wide open, festering border, and the cartels are just doing whatever they want down there. Just whatever they want. Fentanyl coming across. Oh, man. How much fentanyl are we getting? And by the way, Jen Psaki even comes out. And do I have time to play this or should I? Okay, yeah. Jen Psaki, the great Jen Psaki, who Chris Wallace thinks is just amazing. She comes out and talks about, you know, she actually blames Trump for the border problems. Can you imagine this? And just factor this in before you hear this. In August of 2020, Trump as president, only 684 people illegally crossed into the Yuma sector. But this August under Biden, 17,000 people illegally crossed into the Yuma sector that we know about, an increase of about 2,300%. And yet Jen Psaki blames Trump for the wide open border. Yeah, give me a blooming break here.
Well, Peter, as you may have seen, there's been reporting that he did drive through the border when he was on the campaign trail in 2008. And he is certainly familiar with the fact, and it stuck with him, with the fact that in El Paso, the border goes right through the center of town. But what the most important thing everyone should know and understand is that the president has worked on these issues throughout his entire career and is well-versed in every aspect of our immigration system, including the border. That includes when he was vice president, and he went to Mexico and Central America 10 times to address border issues and talk about what we can do to reduce the number of migrants who are coming to the border. He worked in a bipartisan manner with senators like Ted Kennedy, Harry Reid, John McCain, and others to push for comprehensive immigration reform. He does not need a visit to the border to know what a mess was left by the last administration.
Oh,
that's his view.
Yeah, blaming Trump for the border. That is, they will say anything. They really will say anything. It is disgusting to even hear that. But Chris Wallace loves Psaki, doesn't he?
Of this White House press corps. And since I was working in the press corps when Sam Donaldson is there, that's a very grudging compliment on my part. And Jen Psaki, I think, is one of the best press secretaries ever.
Yeah, there you go. Chris Wallace, your Fox News boy there, just loves Jen Psaki. Oh, all right. Before I get too wound up, let's take a break. It's Matt Dunn for Randy Corcoran. We'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.